You want to turn to Matthew chapter 7. We'll be beginning down in verse 7. We have to be careful as we interpret Scripture. We've talked about before that one of the things that we have to recognize when we're interpreting Scripture is that we never want to have an interpretation of one passage that would conflict with what's clearly taught in other passages as well. And that would tend to indicate that God has some sort of contradiction there, that He's teaching two different things, when we know that that's not the case. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. He has one message and one teaching, and it's consistent throughout the Bible. And we need to keep that in mind as we come upon this section. Because this section, like the one that we studied last week, is sometimes misunderstood. Verse number 7 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Then verse 8 continues, "For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." Have any of you ever knocked on a door that didn't open? Well, I have, lots of times. Have you ever asked somebody for something and they didn't give it to you? I have, lots of times. Have you ever lost something and looked for it and not been able to find it? Don lost her glasses in the ocean one time. And you know, that's a pretty big place to look for something. We never found those glasses. Yes, sometimes we ask and we don't get what we're asking for. And sometimes we look for something and can't find it. And sometimes we knock on a door that doesn't get open. So what is Jesus saying here? Because He says if you ask, you'll receive. And if you seek, you'll find. And if you knock on the door, it's going to be opened up to you. What's Jesus trying to get across to us? We don't want to make Jesus out to be a liar. But our personal experience tells us that in this physical world that we live in, those statements are not absolute. Well, perhaps Jesus is using a proverb. We've studied the proverbs and we've talked about the fact that they are things that are generally true, but that they don't every time happen. That there are exceptions to those rules. They're not steadfast rules like the rule of gravity. It's a law of gravity. And sometimes there are things that generally turn out a certain way, and so they become proverbs. So it's possible that that's what He means. Of course, it's also possible that Jesus isn't talking about this physical world. Now, He's talking about spiritual things, which of course would fit with the rest of His teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. So let's think about spiritual things. In the spiritual realm, do we always get what we ask for? Well, Paul asked three times to have his thorn in the flesh removed, and God didn't take it away. Jesus Himself even asked for the cup to pass when He was in the garden. Of course, He said, "Not my will, but your will be done," and that cup didn't pass. He still had to drink it. So even in the spiritual sense, sometimes it doesn't seem like these things always happen like this. But there's one thing that we can be sure of. If we don't ask, we won't receive. If we don't look, we won't find it. If we don't knock, well, the door probably is not going to be opened up for us. Unless it's one of those automatic doors like at the grocery store. We don't have to knock on those. But you know, usually, there are general truths that appear a certain way. When you ask for something, you're much more likely to get it than if you don't ask for it. When you look for something, you're much more likely to find it than if you don't look for it. But even at that, we think about what Jesus is saying here. But think about Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, where Jesus taught that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up, not knowing that God will answer. And sometimes, Sometimes I hear people say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Well, if they were expecting a voice from heaven to come down, well, then they're probably right. God didn't answer their prayer. Not like that. But when we ask God for something, when we pray, will He always give us what we ask for? We better hope not. There was years ago a country song out called Thank God for Unanswered Prayers, and the guy goes through all the things that he prayed for that didn't happen, and then later on he was looking back at them, glad it didn't happen that way. And you know, sometimes we call that unanswered prayer. That's not unanswered. How does God answer prayer? How does He give us what we ask for? Well, I've heard in the past, well, sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says wait, or some people say sometimes He says grow, or something like that. There's more to it than that. Sometimes, and I want us to actually think of five different ways that God answers a prayer. Sometimes He answers a prayer slowly over time. For example, if we ask God for wisdom or patience or knowledge of His Word, does He answer that just like that? Okay, oh, now you know all of God's Word? No, He doesn't answer it that way. We ask Him for wisdom. We just go to bed that night and we ask God for wisdom. Next day we wake up and we just all wise. Well, Solomon got that gift. But for the rest of us, God doesn't answer that prayer that way. That wisdom comes over time, and that knowledge comes over time, and that patience comes over time, and God gradually gives us more and more of those things as we can handle it, and as we continue to seek it. And then, secondly, we want to notice that sometimes He just literally does it. He answers the prayer right then and there. I remember the story from out in West Texas. They were in a drought, kind of like it has been here the last few years. But this was years ago, supposedly. And the church said, we need rain. We really need some rain. So we're going to get together and we're going to have a prayer meeting and we're going to pray for rain. And so the night came and people showed up and they came into the building, and finally one of the elders in the church got up and he said, brothers and sisters, I want to know what's wrong with us. We came together here tonight to pray for rain and not a one of you brought your umbrella. And sometimes we expect God to just make it happen right then. He's not obligated to. He doesn't have to do what we want when we want. He's not our servant. We're His servants. We don't tell Him what to do. We ask Him. And if it's within His will and if He sees it being good for us, He gives it to us. Well, then of course the third way that He does is that sometimes He does deny our request. Sometimes we ask for something that's just not good for us. And so He says no. But then a fourth way that He sometimes responds to our prayers is by sending us what we needed and what we really wanted, but not in the way we wanted it or not the thing we thought we wanted or needed. You see, sometimes we can only see one way that a certain situation could work out, and so that's what we pray for. And yet sometimes that's not the best way. And God knows a better way, and so He provides a better circumstance. Think about that with Jesus in the garden. He prayed for that cup to pass from Him, and you know what happened? God sent some angels to strengthen Him. That wasn't what Jesus asked for. Jesus didn't say send some angels to strip him. He said, I want to skip this. I don't want to drink this cup. And God said, well, you got to drink the cup, but I'm going to help you drink it. I'm going to give you the strength to make it through. And so sometimes God may send someone else our way to help us make it through a difficult time. Sometimes He gives us something different from what we requested. And sometimes, after a delay, after a period of time, He will then grant a prayer's request and answer that prayer affirmatively or with a yes. But He says, wait a little while and then we'll do it. It shouldn't surprise us. Jesus speaks of God as a Father. Of course, the entire Bible speaks of God as a Father. And if we think about a father and how a father answers his children's requests, we'll find that they're much the same as that. My children want this, they want that. I don't give them everything they want all at the same time. Give them a little bit at a time, gradually in some cases. Sometimes I give them what they ask for. Sometimes I say, no, that's not good for you. You can't have that. We won't allow that. Sometimes I may give them something different than what they ask for. Maybe something better. Maybe something safer. Maybe something healthier, depending on the circumstances. And sometimes they may ask me for something once, and I think, you know, I bet in 5 minutes they won't care about that, so we'll see. And if 2 days later they come back still asking for the same thing, I think, well, maybe they're a little more serious about this. Maybe they really do want it. And I may give it to them after a couple of days have gone by and they're still interested in wanting that. So God treats us much that same way. But one of the things, when we talked about Luke chapter 18, where Jesus tells that story about how men ought always to pray and not to faint, He tells the story about the woman that just bugged the stew out of that judge until he finally gave in and gave her what he wanted, what she wanted. Sometimes God gets exasperated with His people and He gives them what they want and He lets them suffer the consequences. You remember a man by the name of Saul? Oh, not the one that became the apostle, the one that became king. Remember him? The people, we want a king, we want a king. And God said, okay, you can have one. But let me tell you what He's going to do to you. Let me tell you what it's going to be like. And so He had Samuel warn the people. Here's what the king's going to do. He's going to take all your daughters away from you. He's going to take your sons off to war. He's going to tax you and He's going to take this. And He's going to... And if he said, we want a king, God said, alright. I warned you. I tried to talk you out of it. But that's what you want and that's what you're going to get. So as we think about what Jesus says here in verses 7 and 8, ask and you shall receive. Be careful what you ask for. If you're asking for the right things, if you're asking for things that are according to God's will, certainly He wants to give you those things. He's glad to give you those things. But if you're stubborn and you keep asking Him for things that aren't good for you, eventually He may let you have that. Of course, sometimes what we do is we ask God, and He is clearly, without the big booming voice from heaven coming down, He clearly says, no, you don't need that, don't have that, I don't want you to go get that. And we get impatient and say, well, I'm going to go get it anyway, and we go get it ourselves. We go do our own thing. We've got to watch out. If we're asking for the right things, God's happy to answer that with a yes. If we're seeking the right things, we'll find them. But you know what? If we're seeking the wrong things, we'll find them too. You see, Jesus isn't talking about some lost keys or lost glasses or something like that. Jesus is talking about in the spiritual realm. If we're seeking after righteousness, then righteousness is what we're going to find. If we're seeking after sinfulness, then sinfulness is what we'll find. It all depends on what we're looking for. And knocking on the door and it'll be opened. If we keep knocking long enough, Jesus told the story about the man who at midnight, he goes over to his neighbor's house, starts banging on the door. Look, I had some company come. I don't have anything to feed them. Get up and give me some food so I can feed my family, the family that came to visit me. And the man says, I'm in bed, you know, the children are in bed, you know, the lights are out, the doors are locked. You know, go home, leave me alone. And the guy just keeps pounding on the door. Give me some. And Jesus said, I tell you what, he's not going to do it because it's his friend. But because the guy's bugging him, he's going to get up and give him something just to get rid of him. What was Jesus talking about? See, Jesus was talking about prayer. And he was warning us that if we are stubborn and stiff-necked and hard-headed and keep bugging God for something, even if it's not good for us, He'll let us have it. Just like He did the children of Israel and their king. Later on, we may realize what a mistake we made. Hopefully before it's too late. Hopefully we can realize it and repent of it and come back to God. But a lot of times people don't. But if we knock on the right doors, if we seek the right things, if we ask for the right things, God gladly takes care of those things for us. But we need to keep those things in mind. We've got to beware of rash prayers, asking selfishly for things, asking for the wrong things, asking with wrong motives in our hearts. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 30? Rachel said, give me children or else I die. Now, I hadn't met anybody yet that died because they didn't have children. But you know, what's interesting is God did give her children and she died. Died in childbirth with the second one, didn't she? Benjamin. The children of Israel, Psalm 106 and verses 14 and 15 tells us that they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and they tempted God. They tested Him in the desert and He granted them their request, but He sent leanness into their soul. They were hungry. They wanted food. So He gave them the food and so they got the physical, but they lost out on the spiritual. Why Jesus said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We'll be filled if we're hungering and thirsting for the right things. It's interesting, isn't it? If we're hungry and thirsty for physical food, no matter how much we eat, and we may be full. I know Thursday a lot of folks were just, oh, stop. Oh, I can't eat another bite. I couldn't even take another sip of that iced tea. I'm full. Well, Friday morning, guess what they did? They ate some more. They were hungry again. See, that's the way physical things are. You never get enough to be satisfied and full, not to stay satisfied and full. But Jesus said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. They'll be satisfied. The psalmist, speaking of God, said, He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So we need to keep that in mind. Now, so that we understand what Jesus is talking about, He even points it out in verses 9, 10, and 11. He says, think about a father. Is there any one of you men out there, you know, standing there talking, teaching a group of men standing around in the marketplace, and any one of you, if your son comes to you and he asks you for bread, you going to give him a rock? Well, no, of course not. The good father is going to give him the bread. If he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? Well, no, you're going to give him the fish. And then he pulls it all together and he makes the comparison between what he said in 7 and 8 and what he said in 9 and 10 here in verse 11. He says, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask Him? He says that God wants what's best for us. Do we believe that? You see, that's a maturity thing that we've got to reach, because so many times we're tempted to think, well, God's just keeping something back from me and He won't let me have something that's good for me. He won't let me have a better job or more money or more than, He won't let me. And He's holding back and He doesn't love me and He doesn't care about, if He did, He'd let me have this or that or whatever it is. That was Rachel's problem. She thought, if God loved me, why didn't He let me have children? Hannah thought the same thing. If God loves me, why can't I have children? You know, if God loves me, then why do bad things keep happening to me? Why does this happen to me? Why does that happen? And God doesn't really love me. And Satan tempts us with that kind of thinking. But Jesus says, no. So you've got a loving Heavenly Father who wants to give you good things. The problem is that sometimes what we think would be good for us is not what would be good for us. And so God says no. Or sometimes it may be that we're just not ready for it yet. Maybe we need a little more maturity. Maybe we need to learn a little more patience. Maybe we need some other thing to happen in our life to build a certain character trait before we can handle that. I don't know what it is. But see, that's why God's in charge of giving out the gifts and we're not. God knows what's good for us and what's not. And that's why we have to be careful, like Jesus did, to always pray to the Father to consider what His will is and what's best for us. And that's what Jesus did. Not my will, but your will be done. Now, I don't think we have to say that in every prayer that we pray. But that needs to be our attitude when we come to God in prayer. That, you know, Lord, if this is not Your will, then I don't want it to happen. If it is Your will, then I'm ready for it to happen. You know, whatever the case may be. But we need to have that attitude as we go to God about these things. And it's interesting, then, how Jesus closes this section out in verse 12. Because in verse 12, He says, Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now remember, we talked about when it says therefore at the beginning of verse, He's saying it's there because of what's happened in the past few verses. So He's talking about giving good gifts, and He's talking about fathers giving their sons good gifts and asking and receiving And so he tells us then how we ought to behave. God is a giver of good gifts. He gives good things to those who ask of Him. And so Jesus wants us to be like God as well. So what should we do? Well, we ought to give good things. We ought to consider when somebody comes and asks us for something, when somebody's looking for something, when somebody's knocking on the door, then we need to ask ourselves, how would I want this done if it was me? What would be to the best benefit in this situation for this person? Is it a situation where they just need me to give them whatever they're asking for? Or is there something else that would be better? Well, sometimes somebody might say, well, you know, I need money for a bus ticket to get to such and such. Well, maybe money for a bus ticket to get to such and such a place isn't where they need to go, isn't what they need to do. Maybe that's not best. Maybe we could, like God answers our prayers differently, maybe we could offer them something different. I've had, in the past, had somebody say, I need some money for a hotel room. Well, you know, I don't have money to put my family in the hotel room. But I tell you what, I got a place you could sleep. It's amazing how many people will turn that down. Because I didn't give them what they wanted. I answered them a different way. So I said, well, I need some money. I said, well, that's great because I've got a yard that needs mowed. It's amazing how many people will turn that down. Because I didn't answer them the way they wanted it to be answered. Need money for a bus ticket. Well, tell you what, I'm going to Alexandria later. I'll give you a ride. And it's amazing how many people turn that down. You know, if we're serious about this, but we want to be like God and give good gifts, but it's not always just the easy way out. And Jesus explains that the teachings in the law and the prophets, now, He's not talking about the teachings about worship to God. Obviously, that has nothing to do with this subject. But as far as our relationships with other people on earth, He said all of the teachings in the law and the prophets about this boils down to this one thing. You treat other people the way you'd want to be treated. That's all it is. It's nothing complex. There's not a set of algorithms that you got to have a computer to figure it out. Just, how would you want to be treated? Sometimes we don't do that, and it gets us into trouble. God gives us good things. He wants us to receive good things, but He also wants us to give good things. He wants us to be grateful for the good things we receive. Well, Thanksgiving's over. I ain't got to be thankful anymore. Not till next year. No. God wants us to be thankful every day. He doesn't necessarily want us to eat like we do on Thanksgiving, but He does want us to have an attitude of thanksgiving all day long, every day, all year long. God wants us to appreciate the blessings He gives us. He wants us to ask for the right things, to seek the right things, and it will make our lives more full. Are you asking for the right things and seeking the right things? Are you knocking on the right doors? Or are you trying to force your way in through a door that God has locked? Are you looking for things that He's forbidden, that He's condemned and called sin, and yet you're seeking those things instead? Are you asking for things that are going to be harmful to you in the long run? Not necessarily physically, but spiritually are going to be harmful to you. You need to turn your life around. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." and all these other things will be added to you. If we'll take care of putting God first and seeking Him and asking Him for the things that are according to His will, then He'll open the doors and let us go through. If you need to respond to God's invitation tonight, please do so as we stand.